Welcome to the Pouncecast. My name is Matt Menzel. Our guest this month, Milwaukee track and field and cross country head coach Andrew Bassler, back for season number 6, now a 5-time Horizon League track and field coach of the year as the Panthers get ready for the Horizon League Outdoor Track and Field Championships hosted by Oakland and Rochester, Michigan. That coming up this weekend, May 3rd through May 5th. Coach, thanks for your time. And as you prepare for Rochester, Michigan, what are you anticipating this weekend?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Obviously, the anticipation is pretty high, especially for the women's side coming off of the indoor championship. And then on the men's side, I feel like this is the closest we've been to Youngstown in the previous 5 years since I've been here. So there's a lot of momentum heading into this weekend. So definitely the coaching staff, athletes are very excited.
Take us back to last year for a second. The Outdoor Track and Field Championships held in Youngstown, Ohio. The Panthers finishing second to Youngstown State in both men's and women's championships. What do you feel is the difference? We look at last year's results. How are the Penguins able to edge off the Panthers?
Yeah, I think both genders are a little bit different. So on the women's side last year, I feel like we dropped the ball indoor, and lost by 4 points. And then heading into outdoor, lost Natalie Block to an injury. And so that kind of hurt us going to the outdoor, but we were still within 12 or 14 points on the women's side. So we knew we were right there. On the men's side, we just didn't have the depth last year. And I feel we made some moves this year to close that gap. It just hasn't been quite enough. But like I said, heading into this outdoor championship, I feel this is the closest we've been to them heading into the championship. Yeah.
When you look at a rival, is Youngstown State a rival when it comes to track and field, just in the sense that you look over the last number of years, it seems like they've set the bar higher, the standard high?
Yeah, they're definitely a rival. I think it's something the athletes and coaches talk about. There's a dislike for Youngstown. Even without knowing much about them, it's just we've built that up in our head that we want to take them down. And I think there's a lot of teams in this conference that also root for us to do that, which is cool to have the backing of other coaches and other schools.
Yeah, I think in other sports we call them the pesky Penguins of Youngstown State, and certainly no different in track and field. You look back at last year, now looking at this season, did you bring back a lot of experience from last year?
Yeah, we did. We had a pretty deep team last year, especially on the women's side. We brought a lot of veterans back, but we also probably had the best recruiting class I've had since I've been at Milwaukee, and maybe in my 19 years coaching on the women's side and also on the men's side. So the men, however, we were a lot younger than the women's side. And I think that youth, you just don't know what you're going to get all the time with a young team, but they're developing. I think they've come a good way since indoor.
And when you look at the breakdown of the roster, there's certainly a lot of names listed on both the men's and women's rosters. A lot of depth. Is it quality depth, in your opinion? Have you seen that quality develop?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me as a head coach, having a roster that's got the depth to be able to go after championships, but also not so many athletes where they don't get that Division I level experience. They're not getting that one-on-one coaching. So trying to find that balance, and each assistant coach has an ideal number that they want for their event group, and that's kind of what we hover with. And I think it's worked well for us. And I think we're knocking on the door of another championship for the women, and we're getting closer on the men.
You get a lot of opportunities to coach a number of these athletes from cross country to indoor track and field to outdoor track and field. Do you have a lot of, athletes that lap from one sport to the next?
Yeah, I mean, our distance athletes for sure have 3 seasons, so it's a year-round thing for them as well. Me directly, I don't coach distance athletes. That's Coach Riley and on our staff, and so but from indoor to outdoor, like all the track side, they're competing in their indoor events, and they transition to the outdoor events.
We'll talk about that transition in a second, but I want to go back now to February and the indoor Horizon League outdoor or indoor track and field championships. And from a women's standpoint, it will come through with the championship first time since 2012. When you look back at the indoor track and field championships, what stands out from that weekend in Youngstown, Ohio?
I just think the fire that the women had. I think last year, indoor losing by 4 points was finally the realization that they can do it, and we're here. And there's a lot of work put in this summer, both with our athletes training and also just the recruiting that happened. And I could just sense a confidence. It's something we talked about every single week. There's a website where you can project conference championships, and I gave them an update every single week of the gap that we had on Youngstown, and they weren't afraid to hear that, you know. And so heading into that weekend, they knew what was at stake, and they showed up across the board. There was no one that faltered, no one that shied away from the kind of the task that was at hand, and that was really exciting.
You hear some coaches that say, you know, I won't put a lot of stock in projections, but when it comes to track and field, is that something that you do put a lot of stock in, at least use that as a measuring stick to see maybe where you, you know, compare to other teams in the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said about kind of seeing where you stack up from a projection standpoint, but it's also important. The message was delivered to them that, like, the championship's won on the day, right? You've got to show up and get the job done, but it is kind of a measuring stick to see, like, okay, what events are we a little bit back in? Where can we swing things if we improve a couple places in this event? So it's really good kind of knowing going into the championship where you stand. So I do use it, but again, like, you've got to show up, you know, and get the job done. You know, last indoor we were projected to win by 20 to 25 points and we lost by 4 because we dropped the ball in a couple events. And so it's not a given, like, you know, just like with any sporting event, like, it happens on the day.
So you seen, you mentioned the word and used it, confidence with this team, especially on the women's side. Have you seen a different confidence going into this weekend versus, say, last year, knowing that you guys were able to take care of business during the indoor season?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a confidence heading in, but talking with the ladies this week, they also know, like, they still have to show up and get the job done. It's not something they expect. Like, it's something they know they're going to work hard for, and that's not given, and Youngstown's not going to give up that outdoor crown easy, you know. But I think we're in a position on the women's side where, you know, we're projected to bring home this title, and so that, again, that's the confidence that the women are taking into the weekend.
And for the Panthers, trying to sweep on the women's side the indoor and outdoor track and field championships for the first time since 2012. One of the names I want to bring up from the indoor championships is Anna Sapiniak, who was named the Horizon League Women Freshman Field Athlete of the Year. How big of an addition has she been?
I mean, she's been a huge addition. I mean, was one of the state's best high school athletes in recent years. And, you know, for her to have the confidence and faith to come to Milwaukee and see kind of the vision that I had for her as a heptathlete, a multi-event athlete, which, you know, wasn't what I recruited her specifically for. Like, she was a hurdler, long jumper, triple jumper, and so, but she expressed an interest in trying the pentathlon, heptathlon, and she's really taken off, and she is going to be someone who I feel is going to be knocking on the door of the school record this weekend, and also getting qualified for, like, USA Junior. So, like, she's at a whole different level from an ability standpoint. Those are the type of recruits that you're trying to build your program around, getting more athletes with her potential.
Boy, you talk about records, and that record book is going to be rewritten quite a bit during the offseason. Number of records going down here in the springtime. Let's bring up Annalise Eggie. She was named a Women's Championship Outstanding Performer. How has she improved from year one as a freshman to now as a sophomore?
I think with Annalise, she's from a small town in Wisconsin, and finally getting exposed to, like, some consistent training and, like, as coaches, we see what their ability could be because we look at some of their humble marks in high school and see what their training was. And she's just really taken off. And there's a naivety that she has of, like, she didn't know how good she was. And now, like, she's starting to understand, like, yeah, like, I belong, like, not just at the top of this conference, but going after marks that can get to the NCAA championships. And so there's a confidence in her, and she's a competitor. Like, we'll put her on the track, and, like, it doesn't matter. She's going to win. She wants to win, and she's going to find every single way to fight for that line and fight for that first place.
Now, on the men's side, back in February, they finished just behind Youngstown State in the indoor track and field championships. How did you feel the weekend went for the men in Youngstown, Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, I thought for our men, you know, we held the points that we were expected to score. The gap was just too big with Youngstown. And so I felt happy about that. I know they were discouraged because that gap was just too big. But heading into this weekend with, like, this past weekend when we competed at Whitewater in Louisville, probably one of the better weekends we've had as a program since I've been here across the board. Like, we've made some huge moves up the leaderboard and on the conference list on the men's side. And so there's a little bit more momentum and confidence heading into this one. We're still a little bit back from Youngstown, but it's within striking distance if all the right things line up.
And one of the athletes that stood out on the men's side in the indoor track and field championships, Liam Richards, named the Horizon League Men Freshman Field Athlete of the Year. What has Liam brought to the men's team?
Yeah, Liam's brought just some natural ability. He was someone who, you know, played baseball his first 2 years of high school, and he played a high-level volleyball. And the baseball coaches were like, hey, you got to probably decide. You're not going to have this spot on the baseball team if you're traveling a lot. And so he asked a track coach to join track, and they're like, yeah, you can still come and compete. And so, I mean, within 2 years of doing track, he just missed being a state champ in Division I in the hurdles. And he's someone who I feel is going to be rewriting the record books, which is going to be pretty impressive since a lot of those records are Austin Wallace's, who just recently graduated and was one of our top athletes. And so Liam is a student of the sport, and he, like, it's interesting because, like, you'll give him a cue to think about, and you can see that he's processing it, but then you're also like, did he hear me? You know, and then all of a sudden the next rep, it's fixed. Like, he's extremely talented, and he's going to do something special here in Milwaukee.
After the indoor track and field championships, a few weeks passed, and all of a sudden you're right back outdoors competing with the outdoor spring season. This may sound like an obvious question and answer, but is it, for the most part, for athletes, a smooth transition going indoor-outdoor? Is there some adjustment period, obviously, dealing with on the outdoor circuit? You don't know what the weather's going to be like from one meet to the next.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly smooth transition. Like, you know, you're reestablishing some different training loads to kind of get ready for the outdoor season. So you felt really fresh, felt really good heading into the indoor championship. And then the coaches throw some workouts at you that humble you again and, like, bring you back to the fall a little bit. But it is a quick turnaround, and it is. You're kind of hit or miss with weather, and that's where our outdoor schedule, we try to find locations that we somewhat guarantee, like, a chance at good weather. And so trying to go out to, you know, Raleigh, North Carolina to start things off, went out to Azusa, California with our top kids. But I think we've been pretty blessed this outdoor season with the weather we've had. Like, it's been pretty good, and I think the athletes have done a good job of taking advantage of that.
That they have a number of records going down here in the springtime. 34 top 10 marks, not including 8 program record-setting marks. What do you think about the spring so far? Have you been pleased with what you've seen from both sides?
Yeah, I mean, definitely have. Like I mentioned, I think last week's performances was kind of the culmination. Like, everything kind of started to come together, and I feel like the team felt that momentum. We always do a great job at the championships of, like, building on each other's success, and when someone PRs or does well, like, it's like a snowball effect. This was probably the first time I felt that in a regular season weekend. It was just a lot of support. Like, once one big thing happened, then another big thing, and it just kept rolling. I feel like that's really good momentum heading into the championship.
On the women's side, a couple athletes I want to highlight. Courtney Volk, who won the heptathlon and the Gibson Invitational hosted by Indiana State on the 20th of April. How has the senior continued to improve and excel in the heptathlon?
Yeah, I mean, she's someone each year who's gotten better, who's, I think, made really good choices outside of track to set herself up to do well on the track. And, you know, I think being this her last go-around in the multi is going to be something she's going to take advantage of. And then obviously her younger sister being on the team, that's a unique experience, having Callie Volk and both of them doing the same event. And so it's going to be probably an emotional weekend for Courtney, kind of knowing that, you know, this is going to be the last time wearing the Panther uniform. But I think she's ready to go out with a bang and do her part in getting us another team championship.
How about Dominique Thomas? She was named the Horizon League Women's Runner of the Week on the 9th of April. Has recorded some great times. You look at the 100-meter dash, the 200-meter dash. It looks like, at least on paper, there's a real possibility to score some big points in those sprint events with Thomas.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she ran into a little bit of an injury. Okay. And so she's unable to participate. And so that was kind of a devastating blow. More, you know, obviously for the team, but you feel bad for her. Like, I think, you know, in the race at the Gibson Invite, she was in a position to run 11.3 or faster based on who won her heat. And just at the end, you know, a hamstring kind of got up and snagged her a little bit. And so it's unfortunate. You know, I know she really wanted to be there for the team, and it is a huge loss for our team. And I know she's going to be there supporting. And so, but yeah, I mean, even kind of with her out of those events, we're asking some others to step up and kind of fill the void. Yeah.
Seems like that's going to be a quick turnaround for some of these athletes with that recent injury. Is that an easy plug-in as far as, you know, the depth of this team, just asking that next athlete to step up and fill those voids?
You know, I mean, I think we had a couple gals in the 100 and the 200 that were right there on the cusp of scoring and being in a position. So, like, Isabel Roloff, who's our vaulter in 100 meters, she's in a position to score. And then in the 200, our Kennedy Malone, who is one of our top hurdlers. She also runs a 200. Both of them are now in a position to be able to move up and kind of try to get some of those points back that we lose with Dominique out.
So knock on wood, outside of Thomas, has the team been able, on both sides, men and women, been able to stay relatively healthy this spring?
Yeah, I mean, we've been extremely healthy, and that's what makes that loss so hard, is I feel like, you know, things have been rolling really well for the team health-wise, and you know, everything was firing on all cylinders heading into, you know, the last couple weeks of the season.
All right, this next portion of the podcast is all about Natalie Block, and rightfully so. What a career she's been able to put together at Milwaukee. The senior, hot off the press, named the Elfrida Goff Outdoor Track and Field Women's Athlete of the Year. Also, we see that honor indoor for a third consecutive year. This week's Horizon League Women's Runner of the Week. She's accomplished so much in her time with the Panthers, a number of records, number of accolades. When you watch her compete, how has she grown? How has she improved in her time at UWM?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously as an athlete, she's grown a lot, and we've done some things with her to set herself up to be a little bit more successful at the national level. So she came in as a heptathlete, and with the goal of getting to nationals as a heptathlete, and we ran into some injuries, you know, her first 3 years here, and so kind of made that shift for her just to hurdle, and it's really kept her healthy. So from that standpoint, she's definitely improved, but something that's unique with Natalie is that outside of track, like, all her decisions line up to support her goal of being at an elite level in track and fields, from, you know, the sleep, the nutrition, the hydration, just everything outside of track. And I feel like that's the catalyst for the success she's seen this year. And there's still a lot higher goals that we have for her, that she has for herself. And I'm excited to kind of see where that continues to go. Like, she still has some years left at Milwaukee based on some previous injuries and the COVID eligibility. And so, you know, she's definitely not done being a Panther yet, but yeah, I think a lot of the growth is just, she sets herself up well with the decisions she makes outside of track.
So that work ethic, second to none. Did she have that work ethic when she first stepped on campus? Was that something, like you said, has it developed in her time here? Have you guys helped in that process?
No, and Natalie's always had a work ethic. Like, she's always had to be in the gym, on the track, training. The thing that I think she's growing in is allowing the kind of the leash to be pulled back a little bit and be like, listen, you don't always have to be 100% go, go, go. She's really understood the importance of rest and the importance of, like, knowing when to push and not when to push. And I think as a freshman and sophomore, very eager to, like, get to a high level, didn't understand that connection. And again, maybe doing a little bit too much and me having her in the wrong event areas contributed to some of those injuries. But now, like, she's in a really good place. We have great communication as a coach, athlete, and we understand, like, when to push, when not to push. Like, I can see when things are off with her, and we have this conversation, and it's a lot of ebb and flow between her and I, and things get adjusted on the fly. Even though there's a plan, we understand, like, we've got to protect how she feels that day, and if that means the plan changes, then we change the plan.
Obviously, you hope when an athlete steps on campus is the case, but did you know when she first got here that this was going to be something special? She was going to be something special and have the kind of career that she has had?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously recruiting her, she had pretty humble marks in high school and was at the state championship in the 300 hurdles, but she had never done the short hurdles before, and she did long jump. But, like, watching her move and seeing her compete, and just, like, you can kind of sometimes see the athletes that look the part, and she definitely looked the part coming in. But a lot of credit goes to Natalie between like losing her senior year because of COVID but still training extremely hard and being in a position. Then once she got to campus as a freshman and we started to do some testing, and it was just like, yeah, there's something special with this young lady.
I was going to say, it was remarkable. You've mentioned injuries, and she's had some going back even to her prep days, and comes back, it seems like, even stronger from an injury, and is no different here with the Panthers. And look at this past weekend for Block, broke the Milwaukee 400-meter hurdles record for the fourth time this season, hit the minimum qualifying mark for the U.S. Olympic trials, 57.68 seconds. What an impressive accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, definitely she's been dropping that time a lot. The previous meets this year, she's run that 400 hurdle race after she's run the 100 hurdle race. So this was a unique experience in Louisville where she had to run that fresh on Friday and then run the short hurdles on Saturday. And so we really kind of saw what she could do fresh. And what's exciting for both of us is like looking at that race, it was not a clean race. We see like a lot of areas where that time can drop. And I feel like before it's all said and done, she'll be in the 56s. Before the season's done in that 400 hurdle race.
When you look at a typical, you know, meet for Block, what does a meet look like? How busy is she? How busy will she be this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we're at the point with Natalie now where it's not extremely busy because she just has the two hurdle races. And then, obviously, she's our top 400 runner, so she's available to run the 4x4, and that's just an instance of, if it comes down to it and we need to win that to win a championship, then Natalie will run the 4x4 at the end of the meet. But it's pretty controlled just doing the two hurdle events. It's not like when it used to be a heptathlete and she was doing the heptathlon, the 400 hurdles, the 100 hurdles. It was doing a lot. And so now, like, for her, it's a lot more manageable. And again, I think it's keeping her a lot healthier.
So to put you on the spot a little bit, we've mentioned a number of names so far from the women's team. Who are some of the other athletes maybe on the women's side that stand out or have stood out so far in this spring?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think Morgan Pilot has really stepped up in her role in long jump. You know, had a huge PR this past weekend that catapulted her from like 17th in the conference to like fourth or fifth. And she's someone who's been a staple for us in the triple jump. And now there's some expectation of what she can contribute in the long jump. Trying to think who else. I mean, Leah Hanshu in the 400 hurdles had a huge drop this weekend. And, you know, she's in a position as a sophomore that she's going to be looking at hitting some times soon that will get her the first round of nationals. We have another sophomore, Katie Burns, who had a huge 400-meter race this weekend that catapulted her to the top of the conference. And that whole 800 women's group behind Annalise with Aubrey Anderson, Allie Schmitz, Rachel Helm had a huge weekend. I think all four of those are in the top nine in conference. And so they're really setting themselves up to get us big points in the 800 meters.
On the men's side, hot off the press, Golden Cotton's going to be named the Co-Elfrida Goff Outdoor Track and Field Men's Athlete of the Year. He was named the Horizon League Men's Runner of the Week this past week, breaking the program's 100-meter dash record, also notching top times in the Horizon League in the 200-meter dash and the 4x100-meter relay. How has he improved maybe in his time as a Panther since transferring in from UW-Stevens Point?
Yeah, I mean, he made huge jumps right away coming in, and you know, we had a strong sprint group with him and Michael Gorman when they were here together. And then I feel like when Michael transferred out, like, Golden really stepped up to take that kind of top spot. And, you know, I think after making first round of nationals last year in the 200, I think heading into this year, there was a lot of expectations he put on himself and maybe some unnecessary pressure. And so I think he battled through some of that with indoor, and now outdoor, he just stayed committed to the process. He didn't panic when maybe the times weren't what he expected, and it really all came together this past weekend with the 100, obviously, but even the 200 took a step closer to getting back to where he was in the 200 meter dash last year when he made the first round nationals. So it's been pretty special watching him this year manage some adversity probably within himself to be in a really good spot heading into the conference championships.
In the field events, what have you seen from senior Anthony Campbell?
Yeah, with Anthony, I think some of that same thing, like, you know, he made first round nationals last year, and I think there was some pressure, and like we both know what he's capable of. Like I've seen him jump over 8 meters before. He's just fouled him, and so we tweaked his approach on the runway a little bit, and you know we've made a decision to go back to an old approach that he felt comfortable with, and you know that's when he had a big jump this weekend, and so I feel Anthony's in a really good spot. We haven't high jumped as much outdoor, but I think he's in a position to go after, you know, repeat as a high jump champ like he was indoor.
Same thing on the men's side, putting you on the spot a little bit. Who are some of the athletes outside of those that we've mentioned that maybe have stood out from this spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dane Nelson, who's a senior, he's been super consistent in the 110 hurdles and the 400 hurdles, and so I'd be looking for him to finish in the top two in both of those events. You know, Finnegan Shields is a senior who's a thrower. He, you know, he's always showing up at the conference championship, and he had a good shot put this past weekend. So I'm expecting him to do well in all, you know, three of the throwing events. Kind of in the middle distance side, I think, you know, Nate Griepentrog is in a really good spot to make some noise in the 800 where he's not projected to score. And then Carter Eckhoff in the 1500 had a huge PR this past weekend. I think he's going to be in a mix when it comes to the 1500 meters.
Overall, when you take a look at the program, where it's at on the men's and the women's side, continue to see that rise, that improvement since you stepped on campus during the 2018-19 school year and building the program right back up. What's it take to build a program? What's it take to maintain that level of success?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a lot of patience. I mean, you come in and the first thing you try to change is just the culture, you know, and try to get that culture to where you want it, where it's a culture where they support each other and the event groups aren't like separate. It's not like a distance group is not supporting the sprint group and that sort of thing. And, you know, and I think when you're in the middle of it, you don't always see that change or you don't think it's moving as fast. But when you hear outsiders speak of it, or even our seniors this year who say so much has changed from their freshman year, how much has gotten better, how they got to know each other, and you know, then you, as a coach, you realize, yeah, like things are working, right? And I think for me, just focusing on the process and being consistent with our student athletes, both with expectations with them and whatever discipline we have when things don't go right, but really just being a supportive staff that's coaches with positivity first. And I think, you know, that's really what's helped us establish the success. Like, I always feel like you could go and grab like the best athletes, you know, nowadays off the portal, whatever, build your team that way. But I don't think there's going to be sustained success. And I feel like the last 5 years, we've really laid the foundation for Milwaukee track and field and cross country to have sustainable success moving forward. And like, we're starting to see that now with the women and the men getting closer. And so I'm pretty excited kind of where the program's at, and it's taken a lot of dedication, you know, hard work, some compromise on both like the student athletes and the staff, but I think they're starting to see the fruition of that.
And it's neat to see when you look at the roster, a lot of local talent, a lot of great talent in and around the Milwaukee area, up and down this Panther roster. You mentioned the staff. Let's wrap it up by talking about your coaching staff. Tell us about your staff and what they've meant to this program.
Yeah, I mean, I think having a like continuity with your staff is huge. And, you know, Jake Riley was a distance athlete here and then took on a volunteer coaching role prior to me getting here. And one of my main goals when I got here as head coach was to get him as a full-time coach. And so, you know, over the years, we were able to get him to an associate head coach. And I mean, I think the women have won 4 championships since I've been here on the cross country side. And so he's done a great job. And he's really grown as a coach with just how, how he's opened up more and more each year and has allowed like to be more personable with the athletes. We have coach Andy Hatch, who's a sprints hurdles coach, a young coach who, you know, competed at Illinois State, and he had some experience at University of Iowa. And so he's in his second year and has really done an amazing job with the sprints and hurdles group. Coach Terrence Howard was a thrower at Marquette who got some experience as a assistant coach at Marquette, and he's been, I think he's in his third year here now, and he's done a good job of providing some continuity in that throws group. And I think being a relatively young coach who's had NCAA experience, he's really drawn on that and is connected with the athletes well. Coach Zach Schmidt has been a volunteer pole vault coach since I've been here, and so his main focus is just the pole vaulters, and we've really seen that group take off. And that's someone who I kind of forgot to mention, Evan Bartleson, who joined the 5-meter club in pole vault this past weekend and took some looks at the school record in pole vault. And so, he's got another year left. And so Coach Schmidt's been huge in growing that like pole vault group. And I think that is it for the coaching staff. Yeah.
Well, Coach, all the best to you and your staff and to the athletes this weekend in Rochester, Michigan for the Horizon League Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Thanks a lot for your time, and go Panthers.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the Pounce Cast.